All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood. You're listening to Who's Talking, and during the break, we got a call from none other than John Moreau, former ACC basketball official. And John, are you there?
I'm right here, Frank. Thank you.
John, go ahead. Tell me what you want to talk about.
I just want to talk about you talking with Harold Dean, who certainly had a wonderful work ethic. And I wanted to tell you that Jim Hobgood had a pretty good work ethic, too. I wanted him to tell, when Harold Dean was talking, I wanted Jim Hobgood to tell something about himself.
Well, a lot of the people that saw me play are no longer with us, you know. But, I keep telling people I get better and better with the passing of years. You know, it's kind of like the fish keeps getting bigger and bigger. But Frank's mentioned, of course, John, an ACC official. And you, what other leagues did you work in, John?
We worked in a lot of them, Jim. I don't want to list them all, but everywhere from the Big East, Southeast, Atlantic 10, the old Metro Conference, Big 12.
Yeah. Do you have any idea how many games you refereed in your day?
I do not. Well, coaches would tell you I refereed one.
Well, I'll say this. John, John was an excellent official, and I've often said it's a very difficult job, and if anything, I think it's getting progressively more difficult because of the size, strength, speed, and quickness of the kids today. So college, I admire them and recognize it's a very difficult assignment, but John was one of the best.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim, and you were one of the most avid Virginia fans and families at Virginia, the Maloney family, and I congratulate you on the show you have. And one last thing, I have somebody with me right now that we're walking, and it's Mark Newland.
Well, speaking of student athletes in the great tradition of Virginia, Mark was certainly one of them. He came to Virginia shortly after I was there, and we look forward to having Mark on the show next week. So our
highlighted me on there. That's right.
Our listeners will get a chance to hear from Mark directly next week. So tell him we look forward to his visit next Wednesday night.
Thank you all for chatting with me, and have a good visit with Brian O'Connor.
Thank you. Take care, John.
Look forward to it. John Moreau, just a terrific guy. Appreciate his calling in. And I think, pending Coach O'Connor, we're going to go to Frank Maloney with the LeClaire Ryan play of the game.
Absolutely. At this point, Who's Talking wishes to recognize former UVA golfer Steve Marino for his excellent runner-up finish at last week's PGA tournament in Honolulu, Hawaii. Steve shot rounds of 66, 67, 66, and 68 to finish two shots behind Mark Wilson. I think his payday was just a hair below $500,000. And what a great start for Steve Marino, who's a former guest on Who's Talking last year. And I'm sure he recognizes
one that. One of the highlights of his career in the PGA. You know, not competing for the British Open with Tom Watson or playing in the Masters, but appearing on Who's Talking. That's right at the top of his list.
We also want to take a moment to congratulate James Driscoll, former UVA golfer, who earned his tour card again through qualifying school, which is a brutal test of golf and nerves. So we're going to cheer for Steve and James this year, and hopefully maybe we can get James on the show this year.
Yeah, and I saw Steve in the paper said, I guess they're off to the Bob Hope Desert Classic this week, so wish him good luck there. I know he's happy to take that big check, but I'm sure he'd like to get a trophy, too, before too long.
He's due. He has been knocking on the door for, 5 years? So maybe it's time. We're trying to, I guess Jesse's trying to hunt down Coach O'Connor now. In the meantime, we're going to talk about the step up to the plate for him. Saturday, January 29th, John Paul Jones Arena, 5:30 p.m. The special guest is Bobby Valentine, who he coached, managed at a slew of different programs and then went over to Japan where he was somewhat of a phenomenon. And we're going to jump here real quick and make a quick shift here. We've got Chris Horn with the Saber with us. Chris, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Frank.
Very good timing. Thanks for jumping in. We're having a little difficulty here trying to track down Coach O'Connor, but
trying to figure out what kind of ball we're playing with right now. You know, we're going from a round ball to that funny-looking ball here, the football.
We touched on golf and basketball, and now we're back to football. It's the way it bounces tonight. But Why don't you give us an update on what's going on with UVA football recruiting and talk about the big weekend that's ahead for UVA.
Right. Well, it's really, 2 weeks from the day until signing day. It has 24 commitments in total. Actually, two of those are enrolling early. David Wofford, quarterback out of Hampton, and Daquan Romero, a linebacker out of Phoebus High School in Hampton. So those guys are already in. So this weekend is going to be a huge weekend, though, just in terms of putting the finishing touches on the class. There are three uncommitted official visitors that are pretty big time guys. Two in particular, especially in-state guys. One being Curtis Grant, linebacker out of Hermitage, a five-star linebacker, U.S. Army All-American, National Defensive Player of the Year. I could really go on and on in terms of his accolades, but he's going to be there. Dominique Terrell, athlete out of Osborne High School in Manassas, Virginia, is going to be there as well, and Jeremiah Hendy, who's a big physical cornerback out of the state of Maryland, is supposed to make his official visit as well to Virginia. In addition, Virginia is going to have as many as 19 commitments in making their official visits as well, along with these guys. So certainly, it's going to be a busy weekend, an action-packed weekend, and obviously a big weekend in terms of just putting that, as I mentioned, the finishing touches on what is already a very good recruiting class.
Chris, reading the tea leaves, we're coming down the stretch with some big names here. Darius Jennings, mm-hmm. who made his visit back in December the 10th. He's been heavily recruited by Poindexter, 6-foot-tall, 180-pounds athlete, runs a 4.44, four-star athlete, top three in the state of Maryland. Where is Jennings today?
He made his official visit to Wake Forest this past weekend. At this point, he's not planning on making any more. So his decision really is coming down to Virginia, Ohio State, and Wake Forest, and I believe that's going to be the case. I know there are some other schools trying to get in the mix with him, but I have a hard time seeing him deciding on any other schools at this point. I really like Virginia's chances here. I know he had a good visit this past weekend to Wake Forest. Ohio State is obviously a program that you really can't count out just because of their tradition. But Virginia, I think he's been to Virginia three times, including the official visit that you mentioned in December. And he just seems to have had a really good feeling about each of those visits. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a lock for Virginia, but I feel at this point very good about Virginia's chances.
And how about the young man up in Manassas playing at Osborne Park, also one of Poindexter's recruits, and that's Dominique Terrell. Where is Virginia with him? Because I think, it would be a big deal if we could get Jennings and Terrell with all that speed and the agility and the flexibility.
Right. No question. And those guys are kind of similar. Darius is a little bit bigger than Dominique. Darius is about 6 foot, 175 pounds, but Dominique's about 5'10", 170 pounds. But in terms of, you hit it right on the head right there, Frankie. They're both dynamic athletes, big-time playmakers who could make serious impact early on in their careers that if they were to choose Virginia, both would likely, I would think, be slot receiver type of guys and receiver type of guys who could make big plays. And Dominique, is, as I mentioned earlier, he's going to make his official visit to Virginia this weekend. The other schools in contention with him, he has an official visit scheduled to Miami the weekend of the 28th, and he's also considering West Virginia. But with the coaching staff shakeup there at West Virginia, I believe, really, it's a two-team race at this point between Virginia and Miami, and seems to be looking pretty good for Virginia, I would have to say. I think Coach London has done a great job. You mentioned Coach Poindexter has really done a good job recruiting him as well. And I spoke with Coach Steve Schultz out of Osborne High School earlier this week, and he mentioned the parents really like the scene at Virginia, the environment, the fact that it's close to home. So a lot of things, positive things going for Virginia, and obviously this weekend with so many commitments there, that's got to make a good impression just in terms of Dominique maybe getting a chance to get acclimated with who would be his potential future teammates as well. So I think Virginia's in good shape right now, but obviously Miami kind of looms, and we'll see if indeed he does make that visit on the 28th.
Chris, what is your sense on Curtis Grant? I mean, are we really in the picture here? And it would just seem to me that would be a huge get for Coach London and would really make an impression going forward, not only on the field, but just in future recruiting efforts.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Especially, that would be the major statement if they were able to get Curtis Grant. Kind of like I would liken it to when Al Groh came in, he was able to get Ahmad Brooks I believe, on signing day as well, and that kind of would be similar just in terms of two hugely talented guys, five-star guys that could really highlight the class, if you will. And at this point, I think, I mean, you hear a lot of different things. You know, there's Florida, there's Ohio State. He's got his official to Virginia this weekend. He's been to Florida and Ohio State on officials as already, and he's got UNC set up for the 28th. You know, you hear a lot of different things that he's leaning out of state. I personally, you know, I just don't know at this point. I think I could see it going in a number of different directions. Virginia, you know, to be in this position where they are right now and to be able to have a chance to impress them this weekend, I could see them pulling him out. But he's also, he's the type of player that I think will do well no matter where he goes. So I could easily see him at Ohio State or Florida. UNC, I have a little trouble seeing him going there, but obviously Butch Davis is a great recruiter as well. So at this point, it's just tough to see. But obviously Virginia's in the Final Four and has a chance, and I think that's all they could ask for right now.
You know, I noticed in recent weeks and months that several of the biggest recruits in the state of North Carolina are actually going to the SEC this year, mm-hmm. and they've spurned the recruiting efforts by Butch Davis. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Landon Turner up in Harrisonburg, and there's another guy, Travis Hughes.
Right.
Those two players are, you know, top 10 in the state of Virginia. They still verbally committed to Carolina. Are they not paying attention to what might happen with the NCAA?
Well, I mean, especially with Landon has kept with his commitment, and then certainly Travis. And I mean, that was kind of an issue, Frank, that I thought would have a bigger impact. I think it did impact UNC somewhat with Demetrius Nicholson, who, which of course was to Virginia's benefit as he's committed to Virginia. But obviously being able to get those guys, they also have a commitment from Tim Scott, who out of Colonial Forge in the state of Virginia. He's mm-hmm. he's in my top 15 cornerback. So, I think they were able to sell Travis Hughes, you know, post or in the midst of all of the rumors and things like that. And it sounds like they're just, you know, obviously doing a good job of reassuring that, at least telling the messages that everything is going to be okay. And I think that's how they were able to reel in Travis Hughes kind of over Virginia Tech. So obviously those guys were impressed and happy and I guess felt good about what they were hearing and to go ahead and make the commitment there.
You know, been reading lately that maybe Travis Hughes might open things back up, and he's talking to Maryland right now and may take a visit.
Right.
Might UVA jump back into the fold there? Because he's a superior player.
Yeah, I wouldn't see UVA being back in the mix with him. Virginia didn't make the final, I guess, the Final Three or Four. I think if he wanted to come back, if he was open things back up with Virginia, I think you could. I think Virginia would certainly be open to a player like him. But as far as Maryland, which is not a surprise with his brother being there, mm-hmm. Trying to make a push, and then of course Virginia Tech would be there as well. But at this point, I wouldn't see. I think Virginia would certainly very much be open to it, but at this point, I wouldn't see that happening. Just in terms of Virginia being his choice, if he doesn't go with UNC.
Chris, I was just going to ask you relative to the overall class, how do you think it sizes up against other schools in the ACC?
I know in terms of the national rankings, Virginia is in around fourth out of obviously in the ACC, which is pretty good. And in ESPN.com, I know, and Scout.com, they're ranked in the top 25 nationally. So this class is looking pretty good. But, of course, if you add a Curtis Grant, a Darius Jennings, and Dominique Terrell, and not to get everybody too fired up, but of course, if they're able to do that, then that would be just a phenomenal way to end. And I'm sure no matter where the ranking would be, I think Coach London would have a pretty big smile on his face signing day.
That'd be a happy February 2nd. Not only Punxsutawney Phil, but Mike London would be happy on Groundhog Day.
Well, you know, a lot of celebration when Demetrius Nicholson committed, and wouldn't you say that Virginia, at this point in time, if you had to place money on it, wouldn't you say that Terrell and Jennings are closer to committing to Virginia than Grant?
Yeah, those are the two guys of the guys we've talked about so far, and Hendy's in the mix as well. Although at this point, of those four guys, I think I feel best about Terrell and Jennings being Virginia Cavaliers on signing day. As I mentioned, I think you know, with those guys, I don't necessarily think it's a lock at this point, but I do feel pretty. I feel good about Virginia's chances there. And as I mentioned with Curtis Grant, I think you know, they can really impress him this weekend and continue to hang around, and Coach London can and make his pitch. Then you never know. When signing day comes here, maybe he'll decide to stay in state. But at this point, I feel better about, you know, Virginia's chances with Darius Jennings and Dominique Terrell.
Chris, I'm just going to say, Chris, I think Frank's got you scheduled for next week for another potential update here as we get down to the nitty-gritty here with 2 weeks to go until the big day. So we thank you for tonight's update, and sounds like we'll have you back on next week if that's okay.
Oh, definitely. Hope to have some good news, so we'll see.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris
thank
Horn
you.
From the Sabre giving us this week's update on football recruiting.
Well, a couple things we need to pay attention to with the recruiting is recruiting spots. There's 85 scholarship limit, and you can see Virginia is pushing the envelope on the max of 25 in a given class. You've got two players that are entering early. We've got David Watford, the quarterback, and you've also got Daquan Romero, the defensive end slash linebacker. Question is, are some kids not going to be asked back from the fifth years? And also, which kids may be encouraged of the incoming recruits to take a year off at Fork Union and develop? So London will have some difficult decisions to make, and it's still an exciting time, I think. And Virginia fans have got to be just jubilant because this class is shaping up to be in a big deal.
Well, you know, good players make good coaches. I think Coach London and his staff are terrific football coaches, but I think all college coaches would tell you recruiting is really job number one in order to build a program. And, of course, this is big because this is Coach London's really his first recruiting class at Virginia. So he's had success, and hopefully he'll finish with a flourish here with some good news from some of these top-of-the-line kids. All right, we're going to go to our break. We'll be back with Michael Tuskey. I don't know if Coach O'Connor is going to call in or not. If we don't hear from him, we'll update you on Step Up to the Plate one more time. But we'll be back after these messages with our Olympic sports update.